Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
What a night. Happy Monday.
Well, hello.
Happy Tuesday morning if you're listening in podcast form. An unexpected bonus episode of Phase Zero starts right now.
It is 3 a.m. in some places. It is 3 a.m. in some places, and there are people watching us live.
That's incredible.
Shout out to Layla in the UK. Shout out to all our friends in India and all around the world who join us live on Phase Zero. Cam Hayward is watching. I invited him on the show today. He was like, dude, I'm too excited. I just want to listen today. So I am your host, BD. Welcome to a bonus episode of Phase Zero. Jenna Anderson is here.
Hey, everybody.
Aaron Perrine is here.
It's nice to finally meet you, Spider-Man.
Jim Viscardi is here.
Let's go.
We are at 1,000 live viewers for the show, and we're about to roll into it. This is full spoilers for the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer. We're going to break it all down. We're going to talk about Sony's no good, very bad, extremely unfortunate, awful week. I don't know what happened, and that's where we're going to start. This trailer leaked online. It's not a secret. We got to address it. It's one of those things we got to dance around out of like respect, because we don't want to piss off the studios and not get invited to the Spider-Man junket. But it's also like, yo, everybody's talking about this. How can we not? So here we are, the trailer fully leaked online, a potato quality version. First of all, as Jim Viscardi put it so well on Twitter, somebody watched this trailer holding their phone vertically, but it's a widescreen video. So it took up maybe a third of their screen. Somebody filmed that screen, and then somebody filmed that screen. And I think somebody like screen recorded a Snapchat of that screen. So, I don't know. It was just leakception. It went down like the Titanic, and it was just the craziest leak I've ever seen. I think the plan before it even leaked was to have the trailer put online at the same time it was released at CinemaCon, but then this really forced the hand, I think. So, here we are, the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer played at CinemaCon, and now it is available in HD quality. Is this not the craziest thing anybody's ever seen? Like, I've never seen anything like this before.
We've had leaks, obviously, in superhero movies and especially in Marvel movies. Like, I know some people were saying that this gave them flashbacks to like Avengers Infinity War, of like all the crappy screenshots from like convention panels and stuff, of just living all of that again. But like the level of quality of this leak and yet still being able to kind of discern what was happening, and from this, like you said, like this inception of a video, was just so baffling and so interesting. Like, I was so hyped to see this actually released fully, because even though we saw it in a leak, we didn't really know what to expect seeing it in a high quality. So it completely delivered in that respect. But it was just, this has just been such a weird day and a half since this leaked. It's just been crazy.
It's insane.
The last big one I remember was Batman vs Superman, where they were supposed to show it in IMAX, like at previews or whatever. And then it like leaked online in, I think, one of the foreign country YouTubes, like put it out there. And then everyone was just like, oh, snap. And then we were all immediately underwhelmed. This, though, lived up to the expectations.
Well, listen, we all love to make jokes about Sony and the leaks and stuff, but Avengers Endgame leaked online before the premiere. Like, I remember going on Twitter one time, and it was just a minefield. People were just spamming screenshots of some Avengers Endgame leak. So I've never seen a trailer leak like this, but it has happened in the past. I'll never forget the Endgame leak. And Jim texted me and was like, BD, do not go on Twitter. I'm telling you right now, because I was going to the premiere for Endgame, and I was like, already a day away from seeing it before any like anything should have even gotten out.
And if there's any one thing you should know about Brandon, that dude gets way sensitive about spoilers.
Bro, don't do it.
Super sensitive.
Don't do it. What do
That's
you mean?
That's an instant block. That's an instant block with no hesitation. With no hesitation.
That's right. Charlie, I will kill you. The worst thing I have to spoil, the two worst things, I feel bad when I spoil things. Jim loves spoilers. If I go see him, Jim's like, tell me everything. One time I think I've told this story on Phase Zero. On the set of Thor Ragnarok, I was on the phone with my mother and Chris Hemsworth walked down with one eye and I go, oh, holy shit, he's got one eye. And my mom was like, what? And I was like, I gotta go. I also spoiled, like I did an interview for a Walking Dead episode and she was like, well, how was the interview? And I was like, well, he couldn't say much because he dies. And she was like, what? So basically my mom is the one on the receiving end of all my spoilers. But I have gotten better about it. Anyway, we're talking about Spider-Man No Way Home. If you caught Easter eggs, if you caught anything exciting, if there's anything you want to talk about, drop it in our chat on Facebook, on Twitch, wherever we're live. I don't even know where we're live right now. This is
an American everywhere. Broadcast. All the places.
We're live everywhere. What's up, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch? If you're listening to us in podcast form after the fact, send us your tweets. We're going to be talking about this all week. Also, make sure you follow if you're new to the channel. We record new episodes of Phase Zero every Wednesday on twitch.tv/comicbook. And this is a super fun show, and we are building an awesome community, and you all are the best. And now I'm going to stop plugging our show and talk about Spider-Man No Way Home. The trailer, let's just go around with reactions. Jenna, you're at the top of the screen. You kind of shared yours, but you can feel free to dive a little deeper.
I am shocked at how hyped this got me for this movie. I have always been excited for this movie and just all of the rumors and speculation. It was like, if they can pull off even half of what we think that they're going to pull off, I'm going to be excited just to see that out of morbid curiosity. But like in the hype for this trailer publishing, I was genuinely getting excited. I cannot remember the last time that I got this hyped, like waiting for a trailer. And just like the way that it is approaching its story and the way that it gave us both everything and nothing at the same time, I want to see more. Like I am absolutely just on board for this movie now in a way that I wasn't prepared for.
Yeah. I think that's the perfect way to put it. Aaron, what'd you think?
It's all happening, BD. It's all happening. They called you crazy. I saw the tweet from 2019. If you haven't seen it, go to BD's Twitter. He has a tweet where it's like, I want a Spider-Verse with live action Andrew Garfield, live action Tobey Maguire, and Tom Holland. Make it happen. And we are here. It's insane. I don't know. There's so many questions. I'm reading the comments right now. And it's going insane. I have so many different thoughts and feelings. The sky is the limit. I can't believe I'm this excited about a movie. We all knew it was going to happen 3 months ago. I am totally over the moon. Oh, it's so good.
Even the leak didn't even hurt the experience at all. They did though, Aaron. They called me a madman. And now I sit back and I grin in a grateful universe. Jim, you're up.
I mean, this is it. The train has left the station. Congratulations. We got a Spider-Man trailer. It's bananas. And like the little things that we're going to talk about that are just like kind of embedded throughout all this just make it so much better. Like there is a spot 38 seconds into the trailer where there's Mephisto is confirmed. It's a shot. It's a headshot.
They put the horns. They put the horns on him and then they cut to what was that? Like a Dracula hanging light thing?
Yeah. I who knows? But like with the fact that this is like taking basically a one more day kind of scenario and you've got something like that just embedded in there, like, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought the trailer was fantastic. The fact that this is just a teaser is insane.
It's a long teaser.
This has already, like, Eternals already released a final trailer. And if you're not super familiar with Eternals, you really have no idea what's going on in that movie still. I thought the trailer was beautiful, but it's also like, a casual fan is like, what is going on? Like, is this the Justice League, but like with Marvel costumes? I mean, it looks like Superman. It looks dope. But I think a lot of people who don't know Celestials and don't know the Eternals and what they're on Earth to do are like probably lost in the sauce on that. And that's where we come in. Subscribe to the Phase Zero podcast. But this one really lays it out for you. Obviously, I think mainstream audiences are more familiar with Strange and Spider-Man by now. But it just delivered on every front. It showed us what the movie was about. It showed us how the multiverse comes into play. it really was a very revealing trailer for a first teaser that we don't usually get for Marvel movies. And I'm not mad about it because at the same time, I really don't feel like we've seen the whole movie. We obviously have not seen Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, but they're in the movie. We know it. And we got this great tease of the villains, and we got a tease of the stakes, multiple different forms of stakes. And I'm here for it. I thought the trailer was dope. So we're going to dissect some details now. If there's anything you want to talk about besides the fact that the lizard is visible at 226, like I see the comment section lighting up lizard at 226. Everybody's losing their mind on that. We're going to talk about all the villains. But first, I want to have a weird question. Like, why is it so cold in the sanctum? Genuinely, what happened there? What's going on?
So Christian Hoffer, our resident poke journalist and co-host of the Wild Podcast, has appeared. Has said the coldest part. The worst parts of hell are always the coldest, basically. And so, like that, I the deepest parts of hell are covered in ice. That's what he said. Is basically, that's what I love. Is he just? Does he literally just heat his house with a fireplace, or like there's no central air going on in the Sanctum Sanctorum? Like what's going on here?
I just love it because it's the best possible explanation for I remember when all the merch came out and everyone was like, why is there this Midwest Doctor Strange pop? It just came in his parka and his sweatshirt and his boots, and he has this shovel. Like he's just ready to go shovel some snow on a morning in the Midwest. And it's like, okay, cool. There is actually a plot reason for this. It's not just that he happened to be caught shoveling his snow and Peter walked in. And like him and Wong talking and having this big serious conversation while they're both wearing just the biggest winter coats possible is deeply funny to me. I love that. It's also weird because in the leak of the trailer, that almost looks like it was just unfinished effects. And it's like, oh no, that actually is just that cold and blue. So it's really interesting seeing it in that context.
I think it's very interesting that Peter freaked out about people not knowing he's Spider-Man. I feel like there's a lot of context to that trailer, mm-hmm. that scene that we're not getting, because is it a turning back time for people's memories spell? Is it just erasing the fact that they know he's Peter? Is it erasing?
Well, if you read One More Day.
Jim, come on, hit us with the One More Day scoop.
You would know it's literally just a mind wipe. It just literally does not happen. Life just goes on. Peter wakes up and no one knows he's Spider-Man. And that's it. It's literally. But we all know, anyone who watched that, or not watched, anyone who read it, that comes at a cost. And in this case, was the marriage of Mary Jane and Peter Parker.
Yep.
All to keep Aunt May alive.
So what do you think he could lose in this? Because he could lose MJ. He's got this great relationship with MJ. He's got, his friend Jacob Ned. He's got, I guess, a history of the Avengers. Do the Avengers suddenly not know who he is? That's a pretty big one for him.
Does Strange not know who he is, right?
My first thought was that Strange is suddenly going to be standing across from him and be like, who are you? What are you doing in my sanctum?
Right? Well, especially because they make it such a point where when Peter meets Doctor Strange in that, he goes, we saved the universe. We saved half the universe together. Quit the formalities. That's such a cool moment where they very clearly know one another. Or are they going to go to not knowing each other at all? And I think, honestly, it depending on how this all ends out, a Marvel universe that has no idea Peter Parker is Spider-Man, an MCU that is, that makes that infinitely more interesting. Mm-hmm. And I know, look, One More Day when it came out was super controversial, and I think a lot of it was mainly because of the kind of after effects of it. And this is an opportunity for the MCU to do that story better and right, in a way, right? And I think that's, we're so used to, in the MCU, secret identities are basic. They're flippant. No one really cares about them. They carry no weight. And so I think if you have at least one hero who's able to basically keep kayfabe, that's great.
And I personally, given how controversial One More Day is in the comics, I love the fact that it is a teenage young adult Peter who is making such a decision that is so controversial. Like right, in the comics, Peter. When it is it's an adult with a marriage and all of this other history, and he's making kind of a stupid decision that I can understand why at the time that was such a bad idea. But like, I believe that this Peter would make that decision and then now has to face all of the consequences. I feel like this is really going to be the movie where he gets the power and responsibility lesson of it all, because everything is going to change for him and he's going to want to go back to it.
But also Strange is going to get that lesson too. Strange seems to have kind of opened Pandora's box by casting this spell that Wong told him not to. I've seen a couple really good comments. I saw one just a second ago. Where was the one about Wong?
Was it Wong leaving? Like Wong was leaving
Wong to go fight Abomination? Abomination. Yeah, just wait until you see that fight in Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. It is so cool. The way that they
that was just a low key humble brag. Jeez.
I know. I'm like, brag about it.
Wow.
It is, but no. I'm telling you, I can't hype Shang-Chi enough. I love Shang-Chi, and the fight between Wong and Abomination is so cool. And it just doesn't, it seems like there is more to that. And Shang-Chi is so much more integral to the MCU than people are expecting, I think. So MCU fans like us are going to dig it. Also, I want to shout out the fact we are at 2,500 live viewers. These numbers are insane. Thank you all so much for coming to hang out with us on Phase Zero. Make sure you follow us, our Twitch channel and our YouTube channel. And we do this Phase Zero MCU show every Wednesday at noon Eastern time. It might be at a different time this week because I might just go to CinemaCon tomorrow. I canceled the whole CinemaCon trip because I found out this trailer was coming online, because this was really the only reason I was going.
Brandon, we're not here to talk about your Phase Zero, your CinemaCon plans. We're here to talk about the Spider-Man trailer. Come on.
This is a Spider-Man trailer.
Nobody cares.
Jim Viscardi, people care. This is Jim. You wonder why you're always in jail? You wonder?
Let's talk about Doc Ock.
Was this not supposed to be a CinemaCon exclusive like just a few days ago?
Absolutely was. So this has been a wild ride from start to finish to where we have gotten. I mean, like, look, I was an hour and a half ago at my kids' cheerleading practice, just basically S posting on Twitter. And like the hype was real. Like we were all like absolutely we were just hungry for it. And now here it is. And we're going to be able to talk about this and dissect it, you know, basically till the cows come home. And look, and I actually, honestly, I like having the shorter window of trailer to release date, because you know what? The longer wait in between, even if we get other trailers, how sick and tired of we are the million D TV spots that Marvel and Disney put out showing half a second of new footage. You can never tell what's new or whatever. Just give me shorter windows between trailer to release date.
Jim, nobody That's cares fine. About your thoughts on the window of release.
No, it makes total sense.
All right. Anyway, actually, I kind of agree, but I also wanted to see this trailer a long time ago, so I think you're wrong. All right. Can't Peter just tell people, like, hey, I'm Peter?
Yeah.
Couldn't he just kind of like go up to Aunt May and tell her if she wanted to know, or go up to MJ and be like, yo, I'm Peter. I saved you in DC. Remember that?
I think that's going to be part of the movie. I think it's going to be this thing of like, he's going to be much more choosy if he does tell somebody, because now he's aware of the consequences of them knowing and how that can potentially like turn around and bite him. So I feel like Aunt May has to be the first person that he tells. Like, I loved the way in Homecoming that she found out, and I want that relationship to continue. So it's going to kind of suck if we're back at square zero with that. But yeah, he can probably just tell people. I just don't think he'll want to.
Yeah, that's going to be quite a choice. But I mean, listen, the big thing in the trailer that everybody wants to talk about is Lizard, Sinister Six. Sinister Six is forming a multiversal Sinister Six. This is just absolutely insane. What a time to be alive. In the trailer, you have either nods or outright appearances by Sandman, Electro, Lizard, Doc Ock, and Green Goblin. And this connects all three of the Spider-Man movie franchises that we've had out so far. Mm-hmm. And it leaves a spot open for a sixth member of the Sinister Six. Aaron, who do you think is the sixth?
Oh, boy. Let's think. I think it's probably going to be Vulture based on some of the merchandise stuff that's come out. But I really want to see Jake Gyllenhaal's very smelly behind in there as the sixth person. So let's get Mysterio back in here. Let's go. Come on. Do it.
Literally, the only thing I could think of is the fact that every other casting for this movie has come out. If Jake Gyllenhaal was there, wouldn't we know by now?
I think it maybe it's maybe too obvious that like we no one has really paid too much attention to notice. Or you know what? Whatever. Give me Paul Giamatti back as the Rhino. That's fine.
I was just about to say that.
For Rhino. Yep. Justice for Rhino. He got killed by a sewer cover.
But how cool was it to see? How cool was it to see the yellow lightning? Right? I think that's one of the other things that gets a lot of people excited is that like, yes, we had these other versions of these villains, right? But it looks like we're getting the actors, but we're getting their potentially more comic accurate kind of costumes, right? Like we know that the traditional Electro uses the yellow electricity, and like if that means like maybe we'll see Green Goblin with Willem Dafoe with like just purple on him in some way. Hopefully it's just not like the original costume just in purple. That would be terrible. Please Marvel, don't do that. But also I think that door being cracked open is what kind of excites me those. And I'm glad they didn't show that. I am so glad that that's all we got were the little bits. And the only one we got was Mr. I Can't Keep My Mouth Shut, Alfred Molina at the very end, but like with such a perfect.
And he was de-aged, right?
Quote. Yes. Oh, way de-aged.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
No, he is definitely much older than that.
I think he had said that in an interview that he was de-aged.
Right.
So, yes. But it looked way better than I was expecting it to. Also, like to answer your question of who I wish the six would be, I selfishly wanted both Vulture and Rhino so we can recreate the me and the boys meme that exists that everybody loves of all the Spider-Man villains. And also just because Paul Giamatti is the best. But like, I'm happy with what we're getting. I'm happy with all these little teases. Like, it's just so crazy. And also, like, I feel like we need to make a Lizard at 226 shirt just for the amount of times it has been said in the chat. That just needs to be a merch that needs to exist.
I think that should be the first Phase Zero t-shirt, Lizard at 226. Do you think there's any chance Aaron Taylor Johnson's Kraven pops in?
Oh man. I mean, look, I would, if anything, Jared Leto's Morbius would show up first. I think
I'd rather see Tom Hardy's Venom than any of them, but
yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
Beatrice Verhoeven is at CinemaCon. She's been texting me. She saw Venom, Morbius footage at CinemaCon. And she was texting me saying it looks absolutely amazing. So whatever they showed at CinemaCon for Morbius, I hope gets put online soon. Very smart not to put it online right now because nobody's going to be talking about it. Yeah. But release it soon because there's probably some awesome stuff there.
I gotta give Jamie Lovett some credit for a plus tweet where he goes, I can't believe Marvel put out a Doctor Strange 2 trailer before Spider-Man 3. SMH. Like that was that's perfect.
Little icky 226 Falcon, yep. That Layla, so true. I have a question for everybody. I want everybody's thoughts on this. We obviously have Jamie Foxx back as Electro, and we know that. We have Alfred Molina back as Doc Ock. We have Willem Dafoe. He's back as Green Goblin. We saw the tease of him. We heard him laugh. We've Lizard back. So do you think these are continuations of the characters in some way, or is it just variants of them? Because I'm going to put this out there for Electro and Doc Ock. They both like went down with an energy source. Like you didn't actually see them perish. You saw Electro basically get, he probably died at the time of the movie. The intention was for him to die, but there is the opportunity for those two characters to have gone into this wild energy source and been transferred to another dimension. But I don't think we can say the same for Green Goblin and Sandman and Lizard. So what do you guys think? Is this new takes on the characters, like how we're seeing J. Jonah Jameson be a fresh take, a new MCU take, like variant, or are these continuations?
I'm going to say yes, variant. I think it would be way too messy to have it be the characters from those movies. I think what we've seen from Marvel is that they want the multiverse to play in the gray area where they theoretically can own these versions of the characters as opposed to them being tied to the various other franchises. And it gets a little bit inside baseball on that way. But if they do them as variants, they can be considered new incarnations of them in a sense.
This is
This question confuses the heck out of me because word of God from Alfred Molina is he'd take up from where he fell in the river. That's what he said, right? Like, he's like, I fell in the river, and that's how I get in the movie. And then the snipers train their bullets on him. But I mean,
it could be that before that happens, right? Or it could be a variant of it before that event happens to him in his timeline.
That's what I was about to say. I think it's going to be a mix of the two. Like, I feel like, because you can't bring back this many actors and this many characters that people really love and then do completely different takes on them. Like, I feel like the fan service would not nearly reach the potential that we know it's probably going to if you kind of just reinvented every single character in this amount of time. So you kind of need that familiarity. So even if they have different costumes and have slightly different stories, I feel like there's going to be some sort of acknowledgement of like the previous movies happened just in a slightly different way, because you kind of have to, otherwise that's going to be the entire movie is just explaining where everyone's at.
I see a really popular theory that Doctor Strange is actually Mysterio. I don't think so, but that would be insane.
That would be
crazy. I think that the characters could be a combination of variants and continuations from their other franchises. Because I know that opportunity to kind of acknowledge that Toby has been out there playing like his Peter Parker has been out there having a story that we could visit his universe and see what happened. I think that's really fulfilling. The idea that Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man could meet a Gwen Stacy from another universe and catch her earlier, there could be a lot of like really cool opportunities to continue those stories. And I hope we see that. I really would like to see that happen. I don't really want to see Toby and Andrew. I mean, it'll be cool either way. I would rather see Toby and Andrew pick up where they left off and we get to visit their worlds and maybe continue their stories in some way. I think that casual moviegoers can just accept that. It'll be something that can enhance your experience if you remember those movies and you've seen them, but not detract from your experience, like just not really do anything for you if you really are in the dark on that.
I have a question, speaking of Toby and Andrew. Which moment in theaters will be bigger? Cap getting Mjolnir or all three Spider-Men standing together at once?
My gut says Cap because we didn't know and because of just the hype around Endgame was just insane. But I don't think it's like, even if Toby appearing doesn't get the same level of hype as Cap, like it's not a failure because that's an insane level of hype. I just think Cap is such, I don't think Cap picking up the hammer will be matched. It's so hard to match that for me. I don't know. What do you think, Jenna?
I could see it potentially getting more hype, but I completely agree with you at the same time. Like the Cap moment is so iconic and built up in this way. I feel like there is a potential for them to really, really milk that moment and get it to be this thing where everyone in the theater is just losing their minds. But like, we don't know at this point. So I'm hopeful, but we'll have to wait and see.
I think that for like general audiences who don't follow all these things, like before we got on here, my stepdad was helping me set up all my stuff here because I am on vacation. I came off of this because this demands me being here and I am here. He didn't watch all these and he saw what he heard William Dafoe. He was
like, Aaron brought his microphone on
yeah, I did. I did. Because I had a feeling, you know, listen, unlike Peter Parker, I brought my suit with me. Okay. But yeah, I think that for general audiences, they're gonna lose their minds. But I don't know if you can ever touch the Captain America getting the hammer. Like there were people doing backflips in the theater. It's crazy.
Yeah, that was just a lightning in a bottle.
I'm going to say it though. I think the Spider-Man moment is going to take it. I think it's Spider-Man is a behemoth of a franchise that a 6-year-old seeing three Spider-Men on screen together is going to lose their mind more than I think Cap getting the hammer. Cap getting the hammer is cool, but there are three Spider-Men on my screen. That's even cooler.
That's exactly it, though. Like with the cat moment, like I remember after my family had seen it without me, my dad was calling me on the phone and he was like, so is that a thing in the comics where he holds the hammer? Like, is that a thing? So if a lot of people in the like general audience didn't necessarily know the roots of that moment and the significance of it, but they do know, like, oh my gosh, three Spider-Men are on screen together. This is unprecedented and big. So I feel like that could be the aspect that really eclipses it.
I think a six-year-old smiles and maybe is like, oh, cool, because a six-year-old doesn't understand the weight of Tobey Maguire returning. Cat picking up the hammer gets a 30-year-old to cry and scream and kick the chair in front of him.
Okay,
but even that, but even will do that too.
But right, because like me, mid-30 guy who loves, you know, who grew up with Tobey is going to be able to share a moment with like my younger, a younger cousin who grew up with Tom Holland. And then I'm sure we'll find someone in the middle who grew up with my favorite Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield. And like, that's a moment. This is a generational kind of thing. Everyone's got their favorite Spider-Man in a way that like Cap just grabbing Mjolnir is just, you know, it is what it is. It's still a big moment. It's a moment that they built 10 years up to, right? How long have we been waiting for Cap to say Avengers Assemble? And so saying Avengers Assemble, holding the hammer, like, oh, just come on.
I mean, here's the thing. I could see myself really, really losing my ish in excitement when Tobey Maguire walked on the screen, when Andrew Garfield walked on the screen, but more so if I didn't know.
There's going to be a shot of the three of them, like all jumping into action. And like, that's going to be the shot.
Here's the thing. I'm going to be absolutely fired up about that. But like, I don't think it'll, because when, man, I could just hear the music right now. Bum, 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 dun, 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 dun. Like, I know that moment is ingrained in my soul. I don't know how we're going to top that. Like, dun, 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 dun. Like, I can sing it right now. I got goosebumps thinking about it. I don't know how we top that. But yeah. I mean, listen, Jim, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, Cap picking up the hammer, that's tough to match. That's tough to surpass.
In just an hour, the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer has accumulated 10 million views across our platform.
Man.
Wow.
My goodness.
Wow. That's a lot of views.
That's a lot of views.
And also, Brandon, why are we discounting it? Maybe Miles will be there too. And there you go. That'll do it.
That would be something, man. But who's playing Miles? Shamik?
Sure. Whoever.
Sure.
Imagine if they just have like animated Miles standing beside them.
Shut it down. Let's go home.
Yeah.
For a second, I cannot believe that we have not talked about the Matt Murdock possibility happening in this trailer. All right.
On the first episode of Phase Zero, I said that Charlie Cox, Matt Murdock was in this movie. I got so much hate in Instagram comment sections and Twitter. People were like, he don't know what he's talking about. He's wrong. He's like, screw that guy. December 17th, I should have screenshotted all those accounts and sent them a thank you note, because I'm very confident that's true. And look, now everybody saw those forearms. So everybody pull up pictures of Charlie Cox and start doing some cross analysis.
I could tell those hairy forearms from anywhere.
He had long sleeves on.
Wait, no, you see like his wrist. You see his wrist.
So do you think
someone who has hairy forearms, I understand. Okay? I understand.
So do you think that plays out with the camera panning up and we see that it's Charlie Cox, Matt Murdock?
That's right.
That'd be amazing.
I don't think we have Daredevil in the movie. No. I think we have Matt Murdock.
No, I think we just get. Yeah, I think we just.
Which is perfectly fine given the context. Like, everyone else is suiting up in this movie. Like, you don't have to also deal with the logistics of like what costume is Daredevil wearing and like how does he fit into this story. Like, I'm fine with him just being Matt Murdock. Also, like, I feel bad for the Daredevil fandom and the like people who are overanalyzing everything, because between the forearms and then like do they have Deborah Ann Wall's ears or not? Like, is that the right ear shape? Like, the amount of lengths that they are going to analyze all of this is actually impressive, but like baffling at the same time.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's what we do.
And we got so little of Matt Murdock as an actual lawyer in like the Netflix series that like I would love to see Charlie Cox flex some courtroom acting muscles and just like go.
So the same question remains there. Is it Matt Murdock that we have met on the Netflix?
No, absolutely not. No, of course not.
So no, new.
They're just gonna. They are. They're taking those Netflix shows, and they are just sending it off into the ocean, and then we'll just take the actors and we'll go.
So new costume next time we see him.
Probably. I would imagine they update that.
What if they put him in the red and gold?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be amazing. Glorious. That would be just mwah, right. But like, I don't know if we're ready for that yet.
All right.
You better get ready. Let's talk about who we think could perish in this film. I think this one's going to step on it. Like, it looks like Happy's in a tough spot. Obviously, Peter being revealed as Spider-Man puts Aunt May in a lot of danger, puts MJ and Ned in a lot of danger. Look,
Ned has to become Hobgoblin at some point. So, just saying.
My mom just texted me, "What do you think of the Spider-Man trailer?" She's not even watching us. She's not too long. I have a show about this, Ma. Here's the thing. The reason I don't think Happy will die is because he already served that same role in Iron Man 3. We saw him get blown up by an extremis soldier and served as like the reason why Tony Stark had to kind of get it together and really go to war with the fake Mandarin, who you're going to learn a lot more about in Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings, September 3rd, great movie. What a plug. And I don't think if Happy dies, I will die. I'm not ready to lose more of the Iron Family.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say, I blacked out for a second and forgot what we were talking about. And then there were like 12 not happies in the chat. And I was like, what is going on? And I was like, wait, oh yeah, that's what we were talking about. But yeah, I don't want him to die either. Like, I feel like I just want him and Aunt May to just go off and be happy together. Like at the end of the movie, like they've earned that. I feel like, and he has earned that across the however many movies he's been in at this point. So just let them go off and just be domestic together.
Can they kill Aunt May after the Spider-Man game already put us through that?
I hope not.
No.
It's one of those things where I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think if anything, one of the other Spider-Men die, right? Mm-hmm. Like I got my money on Toby. Toby is he is deadzo.
Yeah.
But I think that is more apt to happen and probably like maybe one of the villains than I think, you know, we get someone else. I just love Jon Favreau in the MCU. Like we've already lost Coulson, and if Coulson's not coming back, like I think we need Happy being able to pop up every once in a while as a nice surprise kind of thing. So I hope he doesn't die.
A lot of people think Toby is going to go.
Yeah. Toby's definitely dead. Yeah. Totally dead.
No way. I don't think so.
I feel like it's almost a like Harrison Ford in Force Awakens thing of like, I will only come back if you kill me. Like back up the dump truck full of money, give it to me, and then write me off and kill me. Because that way I can kind of be done
playing. That death is what helps further the power and responsibility thing, right?
Like, I thought since the rumors of like, since we haven't had Uncle Ben really in this universe, that like Toby's Peter is going to be the one who delivers that whole speech to Tom's Peter. Like that is absolutely what we're building towards here. It's going to suck. It's going to absolutely hurt to watch, but I feel like that's inevitable at this point.
Although it's going to be really weird to be like, look, our Uncle Ben's gave us this, this really heartfelt life lesson. Your bum ass one died somewhere. So like, I don't know. You didn't learn this from him, but you know, you had to learn this from rich man Tony Stark, but here we go. This is an important lesson here.
In a perfect world, they would take him to the one universe that Chip Zdarsky created in Spider-Man, where it was just a universe of Uncle Ben's and Peter was just like miserable. I think it was in like his Howard the Duck series. And the whole time he's just sobbing. He's like, no, Uncle Ben. Oh my God. And it is the most hilarious thing ever. Like in a perfect world, they would just do that.
Now I'm just thinking about this speech where Toby tells Tom, with great power comes great responsibility.
That's it.
Yep.
And I'm hurt. I'm hurt. I'm down bad.
It's going to happen. Get ready for it.
That's going to be tough.
I thought it was going to be bad when we heard like a possibility of Tony Stark's voice being in the glasses in Far From Home. Tony McGuire giving him a great power, great responsibility speech and then getting speared by Green Goblin again is going to be bad. I am not here for that. I do not want. No, please.
You think Downey comes back, variant Tony?
No.
He has no idea.
That would be so awful.
The fandom would implode on itself three times. Because we already got, I'm surprised, I haven't seen a single Spider-Man Jr. thing in here. Thank God.
Doctor Strange Jr. Yeah. They're finally getting him out of Tony's shadow. Like, I do not need another Tony to come back. Ooh. If Tony comes back, it's going to be as a hologram in completely different things in the MCU. Like, we are not doing that in this movie. It would be a mess.
The Spider-Man I want to see is actually Spider's Man.
Yeah.
Where it's basically it's thousands of spiders that believe that they're Peter Parker from like Earth 1000 something or other. But like that's the Spider-Man I need to see. Bring that one in. Just like come in. Goblin hits him and he just like bursts into a bunch of spiders.
Wow.
We're going to wrap this up. Does anybody have any final topics they want to touch on before we end our bonus episode, Spider-Man No Way Home, hour long, this or 40 minutes long. This was supposed to be a 30 minute show. We kept going. Is there anything else we should talk about before we wrap it up?
I will just say, which Peter is Doc Ock talking to? Because hypothetically in this universe, nobody knows that Peter is Spider-Man. So is there a chance that he's talking to a completely different Peter that is just like off to the side in that scene?
But maybe because they like very clearly the spell was all screwed up, right? Like I love that we're like in this whole predicament because Peter Parker came to Doctor Strange asking for some lame favor. Like, hey, can you just like make pretend no one knows I'm Spider-Man anymore? And boom, all of a sudden the multiverse happens. So.
I hope Toby Spider-Man is like, we have a Doctor Strange too.
Yes.
Because Jameson had that line, Doctor Strange, taken. Like, good, taken. So that could be fun.
I have something. So they did a lot to dance around all these suits. There's one suit really, or well, actually two. There's like the Iron Spider armor from Infinity War, and then there's the suit he made at the end of Far From Home. We know that there's two more suits flying around this movie. Why didn't we see nothing of them other two? Like something
weird.
The black
suit is in like 1 second where he's like running through the school cafeteria.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Because I remember in the leak, somebody was like, is that the black suit? And then the person recording the video was like, shut up. So it was like, yeah, I knew that that was in there for a millisecond, but it's so fast that there's really no way to get a good look at it.
It's also, if you look at the shot of the lightning bolt, it strikes the black and gold suit.
Okay.
Spider-Man as well. But I don't know the time on that, but.
But there's still another one that just isn't there. We saw the black one in the trailers from Far From Home. Like, why are we hiding it?
Aaron, it's our first trailer, okay? My question to close the show was going to be, when's the second trailer coming? But like that.
My question to you, let me ask you this. Is it not enough?
Oh my God. That's it. Look, Kevin Feige has made a meme and it is perfect. Courtesy of Brandon Davis.
The fear of Foggy lives in all of us. If you have not yet watched that Kevin Feige interview, it's on the comicbook.com YouTube channel. I'm really, really proud of that one. I'm really happy to have gotten that in the first place. Kevin was a great sport. We talked all about Shang-Chi in a spoiler-free way. And then also really took like longer than I've ever taken with him before to talk about the future of the MCU. I think I asked him like 6 or 7 questions just about upcoming projects, and he was awesome. He gave us one major scoop that Riri Williams is in Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which I have definitely been teasing on this show. So I think Kevin Feige listens to our show and chose to give it. I like to believe, but I didn't want to. That's one of those things that I was just kind of a surprise that I was just preserving because I had heard that and Kevin confirmed it and was like, is that a scoop? Did I give you a scoop? I was like, you know what you did, Kevin. And I appreciate it. That was a really cool moment. And I mean, just go watch the interview. It's 10 minutes long. It's better if you watch it than I talk about it. So the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer is out there. It's got a bazillion views. My mom doesn't know I have a Phase Zero podcast. And we hope you had fun. If you are listening to us for the first time, we do this every Wednesday. You can subscribe to our podcast on any major podcast platform. You can subscribe to the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/comicbook, the comicbook.com YouTube channel. I'm pretty sure we just broadcast this everywhere. So I hope you had fun and you will be with us every Wednesday. We will be live on Wednesday with a What If breakdown. Probably talk a bit more about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Maybe Cam Hayward will join us again because I've been texting him and he is fired up about Spider-Man. And I want to get back on having some awesome guests on the show. That's when our ratings are the highest. We see why you come. We see why you come to the show. We know you love the Fantastic Four until it's just the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm.
But no. I mean, clearly everyone shows up when I show up.
That's right. Well, we love you guys. I'm rambling. Jenna, any last words?
Nope. Just follow me on social media at Hey, it's Jenna Lynn. This is so fun. It's chaotic recording these at night, but this was a fun one.
Yeah, this was fun. Go follow her. Do it. Jim Viscardi, any parting words?
Look, I just can't wait to see this trailer on a big screen in front of Shang-Chi when I'm sitting in the theater watching that. That's going to be fantastic. So go get your tickets for that movie, because without that movie, we don't get this.
I got 9 IMAX tickets for Shang-Chi opening night. I'm bringing the whole squad.
Let's go. Otherwise, you know, you can follow me on social, at Jim Viscardi, wherever, that's right, or on your preferred social media platform.
Go follow him. Do it. Aaron, what you got?
At Summer Lake Hornet on Twitter. Thank you guys so much. This was so much fun. The comment section was insane.
I love you, comment section.
You guys were having a great time over there. So let's see here. The trailer leaks. We get the actual trailer. Special at Night Phase Zero. CM Punk is back. Everything's good. Everything is good. Everything is fine. It's so wonderful. I love all of you.
Look at what John Watts posted. Uh-huh. A video of the actual trailer. That's
amazing. Love it.
Amazing.
Oh, wow. Legend. Way to acknowledge it. Way to have fun with it. Thank you guys so much for a fun podcast. Spider-Man No Way Home. December 17th, exclusively in theaters. I will be there. IMAX for sure. Can't wait to see this trailer on big screen. Hit me up at Brandon Davis BD if you want to talk more. Hit us up at Phase0CB if you want to follow Marvel news and memes and fun stuff. RIP to the leaker. It was a good run. We thank you for your sacrifice. And that's it. Everybody have a great night. Love y'all.